This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. It's a big day. That's the big guy, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, as we welcome you in. If there's a little extra energy today, it is warranted. One more sleep. All right. And it's funny because I was at the local coffee shop here. I saw two different dudes fantasy drafting at 6:30 a.m. on their computers. Like, get away from the family. Got to lock down the team. Got to lock down the squad for this year. And it just feels good as we're going to turn the page, get into that 24-25 NFL season coming up tomorrow night. And we've got a little bit of that three-point boogie going on, the three-point dance. Remember, you're constantly hunting. Let's just focus on the NFL for a second. Constantly hunting those key numbers. So it's very simple to remember. You go 3, 7, 6, 14, 10. But 3 is the most important margin of victory in the NFL. And frankly, whether it's Thursday night in Kansas City or Friday night lights in Sao Paulo, Brazil, that 3 is key. So again, if you want to lay it with Kansas City, you can lay the 2.5. If you want to take it like the big guy in Baltimore, you can take the 3, though we are focusing on the total. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. He looks nervous today. A little concerned about him before I go to him. Green Bay and Philadelphia. This number is pretty interesting because the 3s have evaporated. So we are now down to Philly laying 2.5. I think the wrong team might be favored here to start the year. I think this is a pick 'em on a neutral court, of course, in Brazil. Now, it's not neutral. You know what? I'll leave that alone. I want to go to Brazil. I'd like to go to South America, whether it's for a football game or just to sightsee. You understand what I'm saying? So 2, 2.5. Mostly 2.5s in the market for the Eagles right now over Love and a very talented young team and the Green Bay Packers. What's coming up on today's program? Let's go ahead and show who's to come. We've got an all-star lineup today. We're going to do some of these guys a little early in the week. It's okay, big guy. We don't have it. It's okay. Don't stress. Aaron Halterman is going to join us, one of our partners. Josh Applebaum, a longtime mainstay VSiN insider. And Mike Somich. And I should give Stormy and Somich some credit here as I was getting set up, you know, with Sean and Lairbear in the closet there. I saw Somich doing a great breakdown of chalk. And they're breaking down some, you know, sports betting parlance or terms. And he was talking about chalk and tying it back to, of course, where chalk originated with the horse races. So I enjoyed that conversation very much. What are we going to do outside of Halterman, Applebaum, and Somich? Well, we're going to have a little fun. First off, you should know that Ja'Marr Chase is in uniform today. Duh. I mean, it's only going to become accelerated. Like, literally the next going into the year, NFL-wise, you're going to have double the amount that held in this year because the template continues to get reinforced. And all you have to do is chill. Players hate two things in the NFL: franchise tags and training camp. So if you're a Trent Williams and you're on your way to Canton already, why the hell would you want to practice in the heat? If you're Brandon Ayuk and you look around and you see people getting paid, why wouldn't you use leverage? And if you're Ja'Marr Chase and arguably the third best wide receiver, I think most would say, you could have a conversation about Hill and Jefferson, then Chase for me, along with Devontae Adams and some others, would be 3. Ja'Marr Chase is just like, yeah, I'm watching all of these dudes, including Jaylen Waddle, Oppo, Hill, get paid buku. Give me the cash. Show me the money. You understand, Jerry? So that's what happened, and it looks like Ja'Marr Chase is going to give it a go. That would be my intention or their intention when New England visits Cincinnati on Sunday. So Kyle Pitts, I should let you know that Kyle Pitts is dealing with a hamstring, so take that into note for Atlanta's opener. And we're going to talk about Caleb Williams, his open at home against the Titans, and what's happened since the merger with the number one overall pick being a quarterback, what they've done ATS and straight up in that first game. Okay, so rookie quarterbacks, of course. We've got a lot for you as far as futures coming up in today's program as well. I've got my 5 season win totals best bets. As I was going over them this morning with the big guy, I started to realize these are pretty unpopular. I think when we unveil the list, I'm not pretending like I'm Mr. Contrarian, but these aren't, I don't think these are common as far as if you go to the NFL betting guide over at VSiN.com. I think I've got some surprises here. I've got some alt lines as well with some plus juice. So we'll have some fun with that. The big guy went nuts with his futures, whether it be Super Bowl, division, offensive player of the year, MVP. And I know he's added more to the mix. So we'll get into that as well. Okay, so we set the table, and let's set a bigger table because my man likes to eat, and say hi to Dustin Sweetelson. What's cracking, big guy?
Well, we're looking at 20 bets already for this upcoming weekend between college and the NFL, so things are getting a bit out of control, I will admit that. You mentioned the wrong team being favored, though, on Friday with the Eagles and Packers, and I think there's no doubt if both teams play to their top-end ability, the Eagles are the better team, but it's Brazil. So it feels like a little more bottom-end action, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do know what you mean. And for a multitude of reasons, I'm not going to have you elucidate. So a nice little start to the show for the big guy that should carry him for the next 2 hours. Okay. I will say, we've been talking about the new 3.0 of VSiN with the new lineup, which is awesome. I was texting, and I think it's been announced by our good buddy Bill AD in the daily newsletter, The Man of Mystery. You can go sign up right now, VSiN.com. All you do is enter your email address. Bill knows that I'm a huge fan of the newsletter because it's just like, hey, you just poured your coffee. Why don't you set the betting template for the day, the menu for the day? And he mentioned that one of our old partners and coworkers, Adam Schein, is going to be writing 2 articles a week. He used to write for NFL.com, and I think most know by now he's going to be joining us on the air. I was texting with Schein earlier to congratulate him, and I will tell you this. He used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, that's him. Okay, you're going to notice with the energy in Adam Schein, you know, Mad Dog Sports Radio, CBS, NFL.com. He used, it looks close to 12 exclamation points to tell me he's excited. So that checks, right? That kind of checks.
Yeah. Who's better than you, Patty?
Yeah, he would. He gets stuck on things, Schein. So what would happen is we'd see each other for all those years in the hallways in New York City at Sirius XM. And all he would say is he'd point to me and say, how about those Lions? Well, the curious thing about somebody asking me for 40 plus years about the Lions is it always ended with a chuckle. And, yeah. And seemingly now the Lions are not just the talk of the NFC, but most are like, I'm going to get crazy this year and have the Lions in the Super Bowl. That's not crazy. Last year would have been crazy. Okay, donks.
Words I never thought I'd say out loud. I couldn't get down on the Lions to win the Super Bowl because the number was too short. I just can't do 10-1. I can't do 10-1. I can't do that.
Isn't that funny how that works? Isn't that funny how it works? Just as an aside, and then we'll come back and talk about tomorrow's Thursday night tilt to open up the season in Kansas City with Baltimore in town. How about the idea your New York Football Giants had the Hard Knocks? Now, I think, did they do the traditional Hard Knocks?
No.
Because now there's in-season Hard Knocks, which I think is a little bit more interesting.
They were preseason Hard Knocks, and they were definitely reenacting things that already happened, and people were getting annoyed thinking that they were real.
Now, if you're looking at the most losses this year, I would say the New England Patriots are one with a bullet, and then you start to have the conversation after that. Most are talking about the Giants. Like, there aren't a lot of expectations for the Football Giants this year. I also believe that when you have this Hard Knock situation, I think sometimes it can expose the brain trust. And Joe Schein, no relation to Adam, Joe Schein is the general manager of the Giants. I think he should stop everything. He needs to stop talking. He needs to stop putting down his quarterback. He needs to stop thirsting over Jaden Daniels and just take it easy, because he said to Ryan Poles, now the expectations are off the charts for the Bears this year. A number one quarterback has never walked into a situation like Caleb Williams is going to walk into. I think Caleb Williams is going to be special. I think the market's overrating the Bears this year in division, in conference, and even win total. Having said that, I think they're going to be very good. I think the defense is very good. But Joe Schein said to Ryan Poles, quote, it's got to be nice to be scouting quarterbacks. Joe, you chose to re-up with Daniel Jones. You, 2 years... What?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I'm shaking my head.
I'm completely flabbergasted by what the Maras and the Tishes are doing with this organization right now. The reason is, that's a buttoned-up organization. Okay, most would agree. They've got Daboll in year two. Take it easy. They've got Daboll in year two undressing the quarterback and the team and losing his freaking mind on the sidelines. Now, whether or not he's going to be a good coach, I don't know. Year one, wild card. And now he's got his general man. Tell me how usurping the dude that you chose to extend in any way, that confidence is key coming off the injury. Tell me how the general manager and coach constantly discussing other quarterbacks can be helpful for a guy that needs to prove himself this year and Daniel Jones. I'm begging you to do so at 6.5 on the season win total for the Giants. Please explain yourself.
He could have been scouting quarterbacks the last 2 years, but he chose to sign Daniel Jones to the contract. That's on you, bro. You decided to latch yourself to Daniel Jones. That's a mistake. That could cost you your job. And I'd actually argue with you. I don't think the Maras run a very good organization. I think there's been a lot of
drama. Okay, but let me just say this to follow up. I think Malik Nabers is going to be great.
Sure.
Some would say it's a rookie move by a general manager just to take the flashy toy on the board. I'm just saying. Is this Dave Gettleman 3.0 like Veasan? I mean, what is happening here, people? Three is the key. Tomorrow night in Kansas City. We're back, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. As we welcome you back, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Over the weekend, our next guest, he went 5-0 for VSIN Pros over at VSIN.com in the best bets. Is that good, Dustin Sweetelson, to go 5-0?
And I believe there were a few plus money prices in there, a bunch
generally
of dogs.
Always.
I mean, the word value gets thrown around a lot. Aaron Halterman is value.
And we value him as a contributor here on Sharp Money. And we say hi to Aaron Halterman, racingdudes.com, at racing_dudes. Progressive guest line brings you Mr. Halterman, of course, dudes who bet on sports. And a nice little 5-0 weekend for you. Thank you from all the listeners and VSIN pros.
It was a good weekend. Yeah, hopefully we don't blow it this weekend. We got more plays coming up, so hopefully we keep it going. But yeah, look, it was nice to get out to a good start in college football. I really felt like I was really prepared hard this offseason for this first couple of weeks, because I've been getting beat the last couple of years in these first couple of weeks. So to have that success early is nice. Just hope it doesn't fall apart, and that's what we're going to try to do.
A little humility. You know how he does, Dustin. He comes in with the 5-0 sweep of the board over the weekend, comes in with the humility, makes you and I look bad. More in particular, you, because all you do is brag.
Well, yeah, but I don't talk about the bad moments. Why would I talk about the bad moments? They just get in the way of the good moments.
Yeah, it helps you keep a job. So Baylor and Utah, we should start there. 329, Baylor, Utah. Now, you laid the best number because this number did drop down to 14. Now, Utah obviously laying it. It has jumped up to 14.5. I am seeing 15s in the market right now. Let me just see where this opens. So this open as high as 17. I think a couple shops open 17.5. So Baylor at Utah open 17. And just yesterday got hit down to 14. That's when you bet it. It is up to 14.5, Mr. Halterman.
Yeah, Utah's a weird team so far early as far as how they're being valued, guys. I thought it was weird. They were like 35-point favorites, 34.5, I think, last weekend against Southern Utah, which I thought was crazy. And now we're at 14 against Baylor. I just think this Utah team is much better than Baylor. First game of the Big 12, so that'll be a big deal as well. They're at home. I think they'll be jacked up for this one. And I watched every play of that Utah game because I bet them last week. And I saw what I wanted to see out of Cam Rising. I think the biggest thing with him, you want to see how he was moving around. You kind of just wanted to see overall how he looked coming off that year-long injury last season. He looked fine. And look, this Utah defense, that's one thing we didn't have any question marks about. We knew they would be really good. You know, they should have been good week one, and they were. I think they'll be very good against Baylor. Baylor's got a young offense. I think Utah will swarm them. I think they'll hold them down. And then it's just a matter of, can Cam Rising kind of get that offense going enough to cover, you know, this 14 point spread or 14 and a half. You're betting it now. I like both numbers. I think Utah wins this one pretty comfortably. And again, they're kind of my ride or die. I really like Utah all year. So it just makes sense to play them at this spot for sure.
Yeah. And with Kuthi back, they're two best players on offense back from injury. You mentioned the Big 12, and they're a much different team in Salt Lake. That's when you want to back this Utah team and Whittingham. Next up, Oklahoma State is hosting Arkansas. So let's talk about the number here. So opened as high as 9.5 and has been bet down to 7.5. Oklahoma State laying the 7.5 with Arkansas coming to town.
This is an interesting game. They haven't played in a long time, but this used to be a big rivalry, and I think it'll develop into one with these two schools. They're very close together. You looked at last week, Oklahoma State hosted South Dakota State, who was an FCS school, but they're on a long winning streak, a very good team. And they were 9.5 point favorites, just 9.5 point favorites. Oklahoma State was, they took care of business. They dominated that game. I didn't think it would be, that close of a game, but I also didn't think they'd win 44-20. So that was kind of impressive. They get Arkansas in here this weekend. Now, look, I think Arkansas is going to be better, guys. I do, but I don't think they're quite at the level of Oklahoma State just yet. I think Oklahoma State has a program a couple years ahead of them. Arkansas's got a lot of experienced players, but not experienced together there at Arkansas. A lot of transfer portal guys. So I kind of think this is an early season game where you can jump on the Cowboys in Stillwater. They're another team. You mentioned Utah being good at home. Oklahoma State, very good at home as well. So with the line coming down to 7.5, I thought it made a lot of sense. I just think that Oklahoma State's got enough experience to really kind of jump on a kind of a younger Arkansas team early. And Talen Green for Arkansas quarterback, I'm just not completely sold on him yet either. So I just think enough pieces are there that the knowns are there. Oklahoma State, we know what they are. So I think this line being just 7.5, I'm going to lay it with the Cowboys.
You know what's crazy about Arkansas? And Dustin, I think maybe we were on the air, on the radio when this was all going down. But they say time heals all wounds. Well, when Bobby Petrino was coaching at Arkansas, he was like, he told his wife, "I'll be right back," right? Then he hopped on the crotch rocket and went and picked up his assistant and then spilled it with Shorty on the back, got fired, had the neck brace on at the presser, and went on to do a couple things. Now he's back running the offense at Arkansas, big guy. The SEC just is different. You're going to hire homeboy back? Like, that is, you really want a good offense.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like inbreeding. Like, you left as the man in charge. Now you're back in a lesser role. It's a weird relationship now. But here's the thing. He knows offense, but I don't know what Arkansas has. It's a weird transitional year for them. And Sam Pittman's kind of all in. He has to, like, prove it to keep his job.
Yeah, Petrino knows offense. He should know defensive driving a little bit better. Stay on the whip, bro. All right, let's continue with Mr. Halterman. Yeah, there you go, big guy. Dustin, for those on the radio, was pretending he was riding a motorcycle. That is the contributions I'm looking for. Okay, let's see. He's a host. Mariners A's, first five under four, Halterman.
Yeah, I mean, self-explanatory here with this one. Both teams really can't hit. Seattle definitely can't. Oakland really can't either. I do want to shout out Oakland for a second, though, guys, for as bad as everybody thought they would be in their situation that they're in. They're a competitive team. I mean, they're not great. They're 61-78, and mostly because they can't hit. But give them credit. Yeah, they've come out and they've played well, really, the second half of the season. But anyway, back to this under four in the first five. You've got Kirby on the mound for Seattle. You've got J.P. Sears on the mound for Oakland. Both very reliable pitchers, especially in the first five for J.P. Sears. He is very good. I think this has got 2-1, 3-2 written all over it, talking about the full game. So I'll take the under four for the first five. It's just one of those things. Every way you handicap it, every way you look at it, it just feels like this is going to be a low scoring game tonight. So I think the first five makes sense.
Okay. Death, taxes, and Halterman betting the Snakes laying a run and a half. That's really what it comes down to. Diamondbacks at the Giants. You're going to lay the run and a half with the Snakes.
I mean, would it have been right if I came on here and didn't mention this? You have to bet the Diamondbacks if you're me. It's my thing now. Look, they kind of, I think, came down to earth a little bit, losing 3 out of 4 to the Dodgers over the weekend. I think they went into that thinking, okay, maybe we can make up ground here on them, obviously, in the division, and it didn't go that well. They did bounce back, though. They got a win last night in San Francisco, and now tonight at plus 125, laying a run and a half, I think it makes sense. Gallen on the mound, obviously one of their better pitchers, so obviously that's going to be in the favor of kind of holding down this Giants offense that's hit and miss for sure. So I think Gallen will have success, and then Hayden Bernsong on the mound against the Diamondbacks. I mean, that seems like a total mismatch to me. And that's the thing, you know, we talked about the Diamondbacks early. They just weren't really hitting. Guys were in slumps. That's how they've come out of this, guys. I mean, the pitching's always kind of been decent there, but they kind of went in a slump hitting early, and now they've come out of it. So I'm looking at it and going, look, if we can get 5 or 6 runs tonight, we should cover this at run and a half. And again, plus money at plus 125. It just made too much sense to me. So, yeah, listen, I got to stay on brand, guys. I got to take the Diamondbacks. They're my guys. Hopefully they can keep it going, get another win tonight.
Nothing if not consistent, Aaron Halterman. Hey, big guy, I'm just counting up Aaron's plays for today. He's got 4 of them. We going to get those on the sheet?
I'm looking. I believe they're all now up there and good to go. Yeah. While he was talking. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Did you have anything to say to Aaron before we say goodbye?
Aaron, if the Orioles play the Diamondbacks in the World Series, who are you rooting for?
Ooh, wow. What a great question. The Diamondbacks, because I have a lot more money on the Diamondbacks than I would the Orioles. 30, but I like a
30 to 1. Did you get 30 to 40. 1 on the Snakes?
40? 40. Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be like the Panthers. You know, we would become Diamondbacks. Bring out Mount Rushmore. We'll be back, but Diamondbacks instead of Panthers.
Your Chiefs tomorrow night. What's up?
It's the regular season, right? So who knows what will happen with the Chiefs. They were very bad in the regular season last year. But look, they should be better, guys. They really should. They've done things to make the offense better. I will take the Chiefs tomorrow. I will take the Chiefs. Lamar in Kansas City, give me the Chiefs.
Okay, lay the 2.5. You can find that number. Yep. And again, if you like the Ravens, take the 3. Aaron Halterman, as always, you are the best. RacingDudes.com, a lot of horse racing this weekend. Head over to RacingDudes.com. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
When we come back, the big guy got mad because I was talking about those season win totals, so we'll get to his futures next. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Our next guest is the author of The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. You can find it on Amazon or wherever you get your books. He is the host of All Systems Go, which is a podcast where you can find wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, All Systems Go is just that for the football season. Josh Applebaum is a VSiN betting analyst, and you can find him on Twitter at Josh_insights. Josh, a man that dominates the fall, is back. How are we feeling today?
We're feeling great, Patrick. Dustin, great to be with you. And I'm not abandoning iced coffee. I'm a New Englander. Still going dunks like iced coffee to the bitter end, Patrick. But I'm super excited because football season is finally here. And I want to talk to you guys about kind of my favorite system matches for week 1 in particular. Now, I think it's important here to kind of get a blueprint of how you're going to attack the NFL season. And then we'll talk about system matches. I got a bunch of dogs that are kind of lighting up the board right now with some good value. And then a couple favorites if you want to fade some trendy dogs. So let's start off with just kind of a way to attack NFL in general, and especially week 1. NFL is the most heavily bet sport by far. If anyone's starting new in betting, they're probably going to go to the NFL. The highest ticket counts, highest handles. We have more states legalizing, up to nearly 40 states overall. So it's a huge public sport. So therefore, just taking a basic contrarian angle can really pay off. So that's when you're using our VSiN.com bet splits coming directly from DraftKings, looking at that spread percentage column. Anything less than 50%, less than 40%, those are the games that I get excited about. But here's where it gets good, Patrick. in the thought process of going contrarian, you got to remember public loves favorites. If they're going to bet, you know, bet a game, they're going to risk their money on a team that they think is the safer play, the team that's expected to win. But the beauty of football, we don't care about who wins. We only care about who covers. So dogs are something I lean on all year round, but in particular week one dogs since 2016, big sample size throughout the regular season, they're 1,056 and 987 against the spread. That's 52% ATS, Patrick. So it's pretty much break even. But here's the crazy stat. In week one dogs since 2016, 71 and 53 against the spread, 57%. So wow. Just by going contrarian and taking dogs in week one, we see them bark 5% louder in their opening game versus the rest of the regular season. Now, if you want to take it a step further, I like layering on more filters. So here's where it gets even better. Just isolating road dogs in week one, because public loves betting favorites, loves betting home teams. Week one road dogs, 46 and 29 against the spread, 61% in week one since 2016. Divisional dogs, Patrick, two teams from the same division in week one, take the dog, 30 and 14 ATS, 68% against the spread. And then also buying low on dogs who didn't make the playoffs last year because the public remembers them as being a bad team. There's no way I can bet on them. But week one dogs who missed the playoffs the previous year, nearly 60% against the spread. So that's our starting point. Dogs, week one dogs, road dogs, dogs who missed the postseason, divisional dogs.
I mean, that is just a... It's not just the information. Even Dustin was shaking his head. Yes, that layout. And I haven't heard that on the network at all. I'm not disparaging anybody, but just it's very important to come in with, I guess I would say it's, you know, a system. And that's what you base your betting on, systems and the market. And it's just when you have the outline of a system, then you can start to parse out the individual game. So tremendous job and tremendous with the week one discrepancy as compared to from 16 to now dogs in total. So let's talk about some of those. We'll go with the Panthers. We had our buddy Mike Randall on yesterday. He likes Carolina on the money line in New Orleans. You get the 4, which is a good number here.
Yeah, so I'm with him. I don't know if I'm bold enough to go money line here, but I'll take the points because you mentioned it, Patrick. I think a lot of bettors, when you get to week one, they immediately go to just the teams they want to bet on versus kind of this process, which is, hey, let's identify our system matches and then let's see which teams fit that criteria. So the Panthers are really kind of your number one system match this week. Now look at number one, the system matches that they are popping right now. Number one would be a road dog. Those road dogs, 61% against the spread week one. The kicker, the one we love, divisional dogs. Both teams here from the same division, 68% against the spread week one since 2016. But then I don't just blindly play systems, Patrick. I want to at least look at the market and then stay true to my, you know, sharp reverse line moves, going contrarian. And that's where I like even Carolina even more here, because if you look at the betting market, public's on the Saints. Saints are getting upwards of 60% of spread bets, yet the Saints open -5. They're down to -4. So if majority of public bettors, nearly 2/3, are going with the Saints, why is the line falling away from New Orleans toward Carolina? It tells me Carolina's getting smart money here. Another thing I love about this one is a bet versus dollar discrepancy. Panthers only getting around 40% of bets, but 80% of spread dollars, Patrick and Dustin. That is a huge low bets, higher dollars discrepancy. You would have loved to gotten a 4 here. You can wait it out. Maybe there's buyback, or sorry, to 4.5 with the hook. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe it even gets down to 3.5. But really, to me, if you're playing systems, playing the market, Carolina, you got to like them this week +4.
If this keeps up, Applebaum's going to hit for the cycle in this segment. Let's keep it going. So Vegas at the Chargers, you're catching 3 with Vegas. Now, when the Minshew news was announced, it did briefly touch 4. Back down, buyback on the Raiders down to 3.5. And now it's pretty much 3. I'm going to see if I can find a 3.5, Josh. Maybe you can. Nope, 3 across the board in the market with the Chargers laying it, hosting the Raiders.
Yes, this would be a play you mentioned, Patrick, to root for the Raiders in this spot. Have some line movement toward, not going to call them Oakland, Vegas now, obviously, but you mentioned it. They were as high as +4, +3.5. Now they're down to 3. Now you raised the good point. Always think about getting hooks, key numbers, on or off. I'm seeing a couple books that are juiced up toward LA, -3 at -115. So if you wait it out, you may be able to find the hook. And remember, we have Harbaugh, we have Herbert, you know, kind of a flashy team that's the public's kind of rooting for. I think Vegas maybe lost their sparkle a little bit. But this would be a chance to go the other way with the Raiders, because nearly 2/3 of bets, again, are going with the Chargers in this spot. Yet we've seen this line move toward the Las Vegas Raiders, and they would match road dog, divisional dog, dog who missed the postseason the previous year. So again, and I think this is another question, like we're talking on a Wednesday, you want to identify your system matches, then ask yourself, should I bet it now because I'm getting the best of it, or should I wait, try to get a better number? This is one where I've identified, and we've identified the Raiders, but let's see if we can get that 3.5. If we can get it, I'll take the hook there with Vegas.
Tremendous, Josh. Let's keep it going. I don't see your beloved New England Patriots as a dog this week, which is okay. Well, I'm good with it. Let's take the Colts here. And you've got the Colts. What's your number right now on the Colts?
Yeah, so if you're looking at the Colts, I mean, this is number one, your number one bet against the public play. You're getting 2.5, getting even 3 now. And this isn't really a sharp bet. Like when I'm betting NFL, I want to, you know, first be contrarian against the public, against the drunk guys at the bar, but have some element of smart money. This would just be a pure contrarian play taking the Colts, because as of right now, 83% of spread bets are going Texans. But remember, this game opened a lot lower. I think it was like -2, you know, closer to like -1.5 even at the opener. So this would be one of those inflated lines. So buying low on the Colts at +3, you know, if you're at a 2.5 right now, let's start thinking about teasers again, 2.5 up to 8.5. That could make a lot of sense. But this is your number one contrarian play. Only 17% of spread bets are taking the Colts here, but they would match with a divisional dog as well as a kind of just a straight up contrarian bet against the public play. So tease them up, wait for a 3. But it's either Colts or nothing for me in that one.
And if you don't have multiple outs and you've got Indianapolis catching 2.5, what's Josh saying? He's going to tease them up. He's going to go through 3, key number. He's going to go through 6, key number. And he's going to go through 7, key number. Good job by Josh there. Titans, this is one the big guy likes as well. You're catching 4 at the Bears.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm with Dustin in this one, because Titans to me are popping as well. We've seen line movement toward Tennessee. This game opened Chicago, you know, as high as -5, -4.5. It's now down to 4, even though currently you're getting upwards of 62% of bets here going with the Bears. Also, keep an eye on like public perception over the summer, because Bears are on the rise. I do like their over 8.5 win total, but Caleb Williams, Adunze, Keenan Allen, they're on Hard Knocks. Public's going to kind of, you know, apply that bias into their handicap and say, hey, I'll take Bears at home all day. But the line's going away from Chicago toward Tennessee. Tennessee would match that road dog system match, dog who missed the postseason system match. I don't know if you're going to be able to get Tennessee 4.5 anymore, Patrick. In fact, I see a couple books. You're looking at the board right now where it may even get down to 3.5 because it's juiced up toward Tennessee. So again, I'd be looking at grabbing the points with the Titans here.
Okay. And then we have one more dog for Josh's favorites. I'm going to encourage you to go over to VSiN.com, listen to All Systems Go, which is the pod. You got the Commanders. I'm high on the Commanders this year. They are, let me just find Washington here on my board to get the number. Josh, what do you have as far as your Commander number?
Pretty much key number of 3. There's some 3.5s out there. Yeah, if you can find the hook, I mean, that's going to be the play here. And again, pay attention to the juice. I think a lot of bettors just say, oh, that's the price I got to pay. I'd rather something, obviously, like a +100 over a -120. But use the juice to your advantage. There's no choice. We got to pay it. But at least think about which side's being juiced up. That's going to tell you which side the next line move might go towards. So the fact that we have Commanders really juiced up with the hook 3.5 -120 tells us it could be getting down to 3. Remember, this thing opened like 4 and the line's going toward the Commanders, even though the Bucks are the public play, getting around 61% of spread bets. Now, I don't love backing rookie QBs, Jaden Daniels in this spot. But again, if you're going to go contrarian, if you're going to take an approach here to back dogs, week one is your best time to do it. And if we can basically combine our system matches with what the market's telling us, that's when I get excited and have a little confidence here. So really, Washington to me is on my radar here getting the hook.
Now, there is a rumor that, you know, it's going to be a long year for the Patriots. We're not breaking any news there. There is a rumor that you and your squad could be showing up to Gillette this year with paper bags over your dome piece. Can we confirm?
Yeah, Pat, you can confirm that. Me and my buddies in the group chat have talked about it. I mean, I am holding an under 4.5 win total on the Patriots. I just love the destruction and thought process of what if the Patriots beat the Bengals this weekend, because that's your number one survivor pick. Everyone's playing the Bengals. I actually would enjoy that. I think it'd be hilarious if the Pats won that game. But yeah, Robert Kraft might, you know, tell us to, you know, take the paper bags off and go home. We might get arrested. But if it gets that bad, I think we're going to get very cheap seats and we're going to wear paper bags for Patriots fans this year.
Well, as Dustin would say, if you get in trouble, you can always massage your way out of it. You know what I mean? All exactly. Systems Go is the podcast. VSiN betting analyst. You can read them over at VSiN.com. Josh Applebaum, you're the best, Josh. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Rookie quarterbacks next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
To make you feel better, Dustin Sweetelson, as Larry, our engineer, was counting us in, he was chuckling because he thought what you said was funny. That should make this segment very productive as we welcome you back. Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Of course, VSIN 3.0 as we head into the new NFL season. The lineup is freaking awesome. Surprises to come. Told you I was texting with our newest addition and Adam Schein. He hit me with 10 exclamation points to enforce his excitement. You know, I was watching Money Moves a little earlier today with Stormy, and I got to tell you, Samich filled in yesterday. He was on Money Moves today, and I believe he's on tomorrow, and he was killing it. And with that, he's triple dipping as we welcome him on a Wednesday program. And in particular, I want to just give you props as you were going through some of the betting verbiage and some of the terms, which I like the idea for new bettors to kind of understand and conceptualize what some of these names or terms that are intimidating might mean. And nobody was more perfect to have on when talking about chalk today as it ties back to horse racing. So I enjoyed that, Samo.
Yeah, I think it's a fun little segment that they're doing over on Money Moves, and I'm excited that I was there the day they referenced chalk. For those who don't know, chalk is a horse racing term. That's where it came from back in the day when there weren't electronic boards, and they had to actually use chalkboards at racetracks. The favorite would get bet so much that they'd have to erase that number and rewrite the new odds, erase it, rewrite the new odds, that it became that the favorite was being called the chalk because of how many times they had to rewrite it. And so that's where it originated. Now, sports betting, it's really anytime you're laying a big number, anytime you're on a favorite. But fun segment, and happy that I was the one that was able to be on that specific segment because it's fitting.
Nah, you killed it. And of course, Mike Samich, one of the best horse racing handicappers, along with his other duties, that lives. Now, they used to do that as well in old school Vegas. You know, the odds would just be erased and chalked up as well. But horse racing goes back way past that. You know, I was just thinking about that while you said it, because Dustin, you can jump in here. And Samich spends a lot of time, like Aaron Halterman and the racing dudes, at the track. I want those that pay attention to VSiN that may not be into horse racing. You don't have to be into horse racing to go to the track and just experience Americana. Like, Dustin, if you remember the first time that we did the Breeders' Cup, we went to Santa Anita, and I remember you just walking around completely blown away by just the ambiance, the overall vibes. It's almost like going to the track, regardless of a bougie track or an old school track, it's almost like you're stepping back in the time, and it's just a great experience.
Well, I thought Santa Anita specifically, the thing that I liked the most was that it was very casual, but it also felt like a throwback. It wasn't like uppity. It wasn't pretentious. Like, it felt like any walk of life was going to be welcome there, but it also had a great feel, a great look. I legit used to just think about, you know what, nothing going on a Saturday. I don't even understand how to bet the horses, although I do now because I just have a system that I stand by, which is if Mike bets it at Saratoga, I bet it at Gulfstream and it wins. But I thought many times about just spending a whole Saturday at Santa Anita just drinking all day watching the horses run.
Yeah, we had such a good time. And Samich, you spent a lot of time at the track. You would agree, right? It's just, it's a wonderful vibe.
It's a blast, man. I can't be friends with anyone who can't have fun at the racetrack. It's one of the easiest places to have fun. It's cheap to get in, costs a couple bucks. You can usually get a couple drinks for decent prices. If you want to bet $2, $10, $20, $200, you can have a good time with it. You just don't need a lot of money, and it's something you can do outdoors. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's sure nice when you can have these activities where it's not very expensive, and you can go outdoors and just have a good time. And so I love going to the racetrack, love taking new people to the racetrack, too, because it's interesting what they gravitate toward when you get there.
Some people golf to get outdoors. We go to the track. And to Dustin's point of just going to Santa Anita, I used to go drive up to Santa Anita when they weren't racing there, just a satellite bet. So I'd just be hanging around with the other degenerates betting on other tracks that were racing across the United States. Let's go. I wanted to have a little fun to start with Samo. He's got some baseball plays coming up. Dustin, get your futures ready. I want to run some of them by Samo. And I want to go through my top five season win totals with you, Mike. And some of these aren't popular, but you know how I do. I'm going to start with number
5 on my list, and you just critique it. I got Washington over 6.5. Does that surprise you? Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, the combination moving on from potentially the worst coaching staff that we saw as a lame duck, and Ron Rivera might be the worst, even if he wasn't a lame duck, to be fair. They added a lot of pieces on defense. Brian Robinson Jr. is off that getting shot and looked spry in the preseason. I like the over 6.5. I laid a little juice. You know you love the Commander, Samo.
I did not bet the Commanders over or under. I think this is one that's pretty fairly lined. When I looked at their bell curve and worked through it, they're a team that could win anywhere from 5 to 7 games in my mind. So that 6.5 falls right in there. Maybe if Jaden Daniels has a huge season, they get to 8 or 9, but not a team I think has enough upside to bet the over with that much juice.
Mike, he was trying to trap you. You understand what he was doing. He was trying to get you to co-sign his Commanders because we have a bet on teams with equal win totals about who's going to do better this year. He wanted to trap you into being like, I love that play. And then he could say, better than your Raiders pick.
Well, I'm very aware of what Patrick tries to do. I just choose to not play into that. And so I'll just give him the actual analysis on the team and where it sits. I mean, if he had the Raiders on here, I'd love it on the over 6.5 number. But unfortunately, he doesn't like money.
Well, you'll have to wait and see. And I didn't hear anything you two just said. I've got two alts. So New England is 4.5. I don't know how they win a game. I'm just saying it. I'll put myself out there. I literally don't. So I alted them down to 3.5 to go under +225. And then I alted Dustin's Carolina Panthers to 4.5. Their true number is 5.5. I alted Carolina 4.5 +180, Mike.
I will 100% co-sign on the New England Patriots. I agree with you. 3.5 seems like a tall task for them, especially considering who else is in their division and that ridiculous schedule they have. How they are a fourth place team who is absolutely atrocious, but also have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL. Crazy to me. That offensive line looks like 5 turnstiles. We saw Brissett get absolutely crushed in the final preseason game. I'm not sure how long Brissett lasts in there. And then we'll see what happens when Drake May gets in the game. The Panthers one, I've gone back and forth on this team. Again, I think they're fairly numbered here. I think that you could see an uptick from the offensive side. I like the addition of Deontay Johnson. Don't love him personally, but look, he is more skilled than any wide receivers that they have in there. And I think Canales could do some interesting things on the offensive side. To me, that division stinks. Like, I'm down on the Bucs, I'm down on the Saints, and that means that the Panthers have a chance to win games. That's my biggest scare there.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't love the Carolina one. The Lions, I think everybody's going to agree, 12 wins last year, they got better. They play 3 outdoor games in the elements. I got them over 10.5. And then my number one, Samo, is San Francisco under 11.5. Super Bowl hangover, the schedule is absolutely brutal. Tough division that's getting better. And it comes down one thing. We can't bet on injuries. They will be injured. I'm going under 11.5 with the San Francisco 49ers.
100% agree with you on the under with San Francisco there. I don't think they win the division this year. I think the NFC West is going to be the toughest division. I think it gets 3 playoff teams. I think Seattle ends up winning that NFC West, like the under there on San Francisco. Any injuries to that offensive line, and they are in a world of trouble. There is no depth there at all. And Purdy without time is a problem. You go back, look when Trent Williams was hurt for 3 games last year. They went 0-3 in those 3 games. They are not built to sustain injuries, specifically on that offensive line.
Great breakdown. And the big guy was smiling because he's in on the Seahawks this year. Go ahead, big guy.
I'm trying to figure out what their ceiling is because I think they could be really sneaky good, like high-end good. Obviously, the defense is going to get better, but they also have a ton of really great pieces that probably the best cornerback duo in football. I mean, they are loaded. And then you have arguably, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, arguably the best trio of wide receivers to choose from. I think Kenneth Walker is in for a monster season as a bell cow. Everything about the Seahawks is trending upward. Now you have a coach that's going to win games on the margins. I don't know what their upside is, but I think they're a team that can win a playoff game this year.
Go ahead, please, Mike.
Don't sleep on Grubb coming in as offensive coordinator either. Yep. He's coming in from University of Washington. This was a slow-paced, conservative offense. It's going to be the opposite this year. Geno Smith can throw the football downfield, and you got 3 big-time weapons. If they play with pace and they stretch the field, this offense could be very good as well. And I agree with you. Mike McDonald's going to fix the defense in year one. May take a couple weeks, but by the end of the season, they are going to be good.
+650 to win that division. That is juicy.
this year's Titans, excuse me, this year's Texans. I'm starting to really buy into what you guys are saying about the Seahawks. Dustin, you want to throw just a couple of yours at Mike, and then we'll come back and talk a little baseball?
Yeah, Mike, I couldn't go 10-1 on the Lions to win the Super Bowl. I love it, but it's just a little bit shorter than I like to get down on. So I went Goff MVP, and I know it's a bet you've been talking about for months, but I found 25-1, and at this point, finding 25-1 did still feel like value on Goff. What do you think about that number?
I don't mind the number at all. I bet it the first time at 20-1 at the beginning of the offseason because I thought it would go down from there. It went up to 44-1, peaked at 66-1 at Circa, and got hammered all the way down to like 14-18-1 at one point, floating back up now. Look, the schedule is so beneficial here for Detroit, specifically the early schedule. You can get Goff in at 25-1 now, and he's 7-1, 6-1 when we get to week 7 or 8. You can come back with Mahomes and get him at 7 or 8-1 because they have a tough schedule and then a very easy one to close, and all of a sudden you have the two most likely guys to win it at decent prices.
Yep. 60-1 it had
That's
jumped up to.
Crazy.
66-1 at Circa.
Number. That's a lot of fun. When we come back, we'll briefly touch on tomorrow night's opener, Kansas City hosting Baltimore, and get into a couple plays on tonight's slate as well. Mike Somich joined Sharp Money.